Okay, today we're going to do a little history. I mentioned to you that the Kuzari has a little of everything. It's sort of like the Navi Shir. And we're up to page 136, which is the middle of Samach Hei. In discussing the Karoim, the Chaver had established the idea of the Messiah as essential to understanding what it says in the Torah. And the king asked him for a description of the Messiah, and he had basically said that Nevuah lasted roughly 40 years into the Bayis Sheni. Subsequently, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, and we're up to where he says, "Umetamid of Tzadik Ubeisus, Shu Shairish L'Kaifrim, Ubehem Nikru Hat Siddukim V'Abeisusim, or Be'Toisim," that the first apikursim that took shittas of Klal Yisrael off on their own were the Talmidim of Tzadik and Beisus, who misunderstood their teachings and started something that was the beginning of apikursis. Achrav Yosef ben Yezer, Chas Shebukun, Yosef ben Yechon, Mechavreim, Bayomru Mishmeis Yosef ben Yezer, Batlu HaAshkailis. When Yosef ben Yezer died, the Ashkailis passed from the world. Ashkail is a cluster of grapes. It's called an Eshkail. People called Eshkailis were people who knew, who were great in all areas of Torah. Shenemar ein Eshkail echol, neshelo yadu loy avoy min urav ad yei maisei. He was extraordinary in that he had everything in him. No sin from the day he was born. Achav Yeshua ben Prachid. This is what we were up to. And somebody showed me the other prince, where it says Achav Yeshua ben Prachid, that actually in the pre-censored prints it sticks in here that Yeshua HaNaitzri was a Talmud of Yeshua ben Prachya. Now this the Gemara describes that Yeshua ben Prachya was the Rebbe of Yeshua before Yeshua became distanced from Yeshua ben Prachya, who was harsh with him because of his misbehavior. Now here it's important because we're learning a handful of names, it doesn't mean much because we never met these people. So let me give you a little bit of a perspective on where we are. We're talking here during the time of the Bayis Sheni, well into the time of the Bayis Sheni, and as we're going to see later, the Churban Bayis Sheni is still a few generations away, which means that according to our tradition, Yeshu lived probably 100 or 150 years earlier than the Christians teach. So, because they put, if they would put his birth at roughly the year 1, or 4 BC, so the Churban was in the year 68 or 70 BC, after the Common Era. So that would be 70 odd years after him. Now this was more than 70 years earlier. This is before Yehonai HaMelech, so this goes back, 103 years earlier was Hordis, and this goes back earlier than that. So it would place it earlier. And it's a known thing that the Yeshu described in the Gemara historically was not the same time as the Yeshu, and the historians question how to resolve that. If there were two people known as Yeshu, that the legend of the first Yeshu carried over to the second, or if the historical account of Yeshu really starts from the year about. It really starts as being a world history from the Holy Roman Empire, which was later. Now, the gospel of his students they had. And the question is how accurate going back from when the Roman Empire took over was Constantine, right, who took over where the Romans became so-called Holy Roman Empire. So,
which Gemara?
Where the Gemara is. I believe it's in Avodah Zarah. Appropriately. We're gonna get there, yeah. So, I'm just looking if he brings it here. But, we'll get there, Mr. Shem. What does he say?
Sanhedrin?
Okay. 107b in Parachelik, according to that. It could be that he's mentioned in both. But, Now, be that as it may.
It's interesting because I just happened to ask Rabbi Grossman to print me out where in Shas it talks about Yeshu. So he gave me this list, but it doesn't.
Does it have Sanhedrin 107? I have at home a pamphlet, which is, this is, no. Because he wasn't called Yeshua HaNaitzri. He did a computer search for the words Yeshua HaNaitzri. Obviously, when he's Yeshua Prachis Talmud, he was not known as Yeshua HaNaitzri. And therefore,
we know what he was called.
The Gemara refers to him as Yeshua Naitzri. He wasn't a Naitzri at that point. This is all post. I have at home a small pamphlet of all the censored Gemaras and Marshas and Rashis and Marshas, etc. If you really want to study, I can give it to you. But okay, but be that as it may. We're going through the generations. And at the time of Shim Meshotach and Yanai, the Karoim began. Okay, Yanai HaMelech HaYakayin V'yseimai Chashuda Shehi Chalala. His mother, the Gemara mentions in numerous places that Yanai, there were rumors that Yanai's mother or grandmother had been a shavuya, a woman who had been captured in battle in a way that would passel her to a kayin. When she married a kayin, she rendered her children chalolim or psulim lekuhuna. So Yanai was not happy with the rabbis. You know, they paskined something. They actually didn't even paskin that he's a chalol. They questioned if he's a halala. I think he brings the Gemara. It says, Rama Zalav Echman Chacham Shamalai. One of the Chachamim said to him, Yana Yamelech, Rav Lecha Keser Malchus, Hana Keser Malchus, Kuhuna Lazare Shal, Keser Kuhuna Lazare Shal Aaron. Look, you have the crown of Malchus, let the crown of Kuhuna go to the children of Aaron. And he was upset, he wanted both. B'yatsu Chaveirov Lahavish, Lo Lavaish Hachachamim, Lachaloisam, Ligoisam, Lamisam. Yana went out, he got a psak, he didn't like the psak, so he killed him. You know, Paschal not like me, so he killed many of them, the others ran away, they ran to Mitzrayim and elsewhere. So Gemara said, if I kill out the Chachamim, from who will we learn Torah? Amrulai, Hare Torah, Shebiksav, Kolorets Yavav Yilmid. He said, the Torah is in the corner. Anybody who wants can come and learn it. And don't be worried about Torah Shabbat. Now, initially Yanai got rid of all of them. Shem Meshatach was his brother-in-law. Now, we had this in Brachis a week or two ago. When this Kalkala HaRabbanis Manuot, for a brief period of time in Eretz Yisrael, there was no Rabbanis, there were no Tamidei Chachamim. Tarchu LaHazik Torah B'Shikul Daita V'Akshaisam. They tried to understand Torah with their own logic, without Torah Shavapev, and Nilu, and they failed. Alexandria, as I mentioned, they had run to Egypt. They were brought back. Vishova Hakabala Leitana. And the Torah Shavaksav came back. Alright, so there's really a lot more to the story. This is a brief account of that period of time. Yanai attempted to install the Karaite religion, so to speak, as the religion of Klal Yisrael, and the people didn't stand for it. Well, the Karaite and the Siddukim were to a certain degree the same. He's going to explain the difference between them shortly, but it was the same Shita that they held the Torah Shabbat and not Torah Shabbat. And he's going to explain to us the Siddukim and the Karaites in a minute.
Doesn't the Karaite cult come from Baghdad like hundreds of years later?
No. It could be that it came in Baghdad hundreds of years later, but it started earlier.
Have even to this day, emanated from
Eretz Yisrael.
So.
It could be that they were in Baghdad as well. It could be that that family came from Baghdad, but it started in Eretz Yisrael, that's for certain.
The period of time that there was no Rabbanus, is that when Yeshu came into
Does the
not according to this. According to this account, Yeshua was earlier.
Was earlier than that.
Was earlier, yeah. Yeshua's new religion didn't become popular until later. But anyway, at any rate, Yanai took the Kuhukaina Gedaila, and one of the big things that the Tzedukim, the Karaites, had against the Chachamim was Nisuch HaMayim. The Torah only talks about the pouring wine on the Mizbeach, not pouring water. And therefore, Yanai, at one Sukkis, when he was supposed to pour the water on the Mizbeach, he poured it on the floor instead. And the people were standing there, they pelted him with Esrogim. They almost killed him with their Esrogim. He called out the army. He called out the army and killed a couple of thousand of them. But mercenaries, okay. And
his personal bodyguard.
Okay. And from that became something of a civil war for a brief period of time. Yanai had to abdicate, not the throne, but the Kesek Kuhuna. Yanai had to come to an accommodation. To keep the throne, he had to agree to step away and stay out of religious matters. And for the rest of his malchus, he was somewhat benevolent to the Chachamim. And he allowed them to carry Klal Yisrael would carry on the Torah as they had, as Klal Yisrael had it before. Now he does explain the difference between Tzedukim by Susim, which is interesting. He says, the Karaim were the first roots. They put the seeds of denying Torah Shabbal Peh, Kasha Tamrayim Shais Nahayim, as they do till today. He said the Tzedukim were worse. Tzedukim denied even Olam Abba. Acharoim hei mishtadlim bishiroshim mischakmin b'toilodais. The Karoim are erring in their basic ideas and in the thoughts that they create. And what the hefsid, the loss they have in their ideas, comes from their silliness, not from a deliberate attempt to be apikorsim. So again, you have some censored lines that I don't have. It means that they're the Baptists. They call them the Baptists, right? That they're into dunking themselves in the Jordan River, and then he calls them the Baptists. Okay, good. Now, Va'akrav Yeshamei Vavtalian, Matamide Hillel Vashamei. And Hillel is known for his wisdom and his humility. Whom is Era David, from the children of David HaMelech? He was, I think, seven generations from Ezra. He lived 120 years. Hillel changed the face of Eretz Yisrael. He had thousands of Talmidim. From the ones who excelled, there were 80. 30 were great. The Shekhinah could have resided upon them had their generation been worthy. 30 could have, were on a level to decide the calendar. 20 were so-so. Godlo Shemem Yonisim and Uziel. Cotton Shebehem Rav Yechonah ben Zakkai. Now listen to this. Rav Yechonah ben Zakkai was the Cotton Shebehem. Shelo hiniach mikra mishnah gemara halachis hagadis. He didn't leave a single pasuk, mishnah, gemara, halacha, agada. Chol midas chachamim, chol midas chachamim, chol davar davar shem b'divrei Torah, shelo lamda. He learned everything. Amru alav, and they said about Rav Yechonah ben Zakkai, shelo yisach sichas kula miyamav. He never shmoozed. Velo hiniach adam b'beis hamedrish. He never left the shul and there was someone there. The loy yashem bebeis hamedrish leishin eskvav leishin esarai. Now you'll say he was always in the beis hamedrish. You feel he must have dozed off. No, leholach arba amis b'leitor b'leitfillin. He never walked out on amis without Torah or tefillin. Leimotzi adam yashem v'daimim el yashem v'dairish. They never found him doing nothing. Always darshening. Lepasach adam le'tamidav elohu. Everything he said he learned from his rebbeim. He lived the same 120 years as Hillel. Now here, going through the list, I, a number of weeks ago in the Navi Shir, gave out a card. I should have maybe brought up more than one of them. Actually, what I did, the card is a very small letter, so I used this once at the Shavuos by Night, so I actually made a blown-up version of it. This basically has the history of seven generations of Eretz Yisrael, from Hillel to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Those are the seven, really the glorious generations where Torah Eretz Yisrael was predominant. And there are a couple of important historical points. The point to be made historically, Hillel came from Bavel. Bavel at that time was the seat of Torah learning. Hillel came and changed the face of Eretz Yisrael. He had a son Shimon, who had a son Gamliel, who had a son Shimon, who had a son Gamliel, who had a son Shimon. Got that? Shimon Gamliel, Gamliel Rav Shimon, you have it all over Shas. And then Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So if you want to memorize seven generations from Hillel to Rebbe, it's not so hard. Well, you know Shimon was the second Shevet. So that's how you remember it. Hillel was the second, Shimon was the second in the list. So there was Hillel, then he had a Shimon, and he had a son Gamliel, he had a son Shimon, he had a Gamliel, he had a son Shimon, and then Rebbe came. And that's on the list. What I left out of the list is that Rebbe had two sons, and guess what their names were? Yeah, two sons. Now, until Rebbe, the Gemara says Torah v'gedula b'malkamecha, Rebbe on his deathbed said, Shimon b'ni Nasi, Gamliel b'ni Chacham. He said, from here on, Torah and gedula were not in the same place. My son is a Torah person, but you know, he's like in the corner studying all the time. He can't run things. And Shimon, my son, can run things, but he's not enough of a Talmid Chacham to be the Paisik. So you had the Paisik and you had the Nasi. But for these seven generations, they were together. What's interesting is that there's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the name we have here.
I wanted to ask you the question. How come we don't consider a Korach like the first Karai?
If you want, you could. If you're really interested in, you could.
He doesn't mention it, you know, because he contested...
Yeah, but he wasn't a Karai. He didn't deny Torah Shabbat.
Right, he denied it.
Okay.
When was Rabbein?
Now,
20?
That's Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, probably around 120, maybe, I guess a little earlier, because Rabbi Kiva was, about 120. I'll tell you why. Because the middle Shimon of the three Shimons is called Reb Shimon HaNerag. You remember the Kinnis, you have the Asar Hugei Malchus, you have Yishmael Kayan Gadol, and Shimon Ben Gamliel, and they throw lots, who's going to be killed first. He's called Shimon HaNerag. Now he's the middle of the seven. Right, from seven, the middle one, two, three, four, right? You have Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon. The middle Shimon is Shimon HaNerag, the one that was killed. He was in the time of Rabbi Kiva, who was in about, after the Churban. And then three more generations, you have Rebbe. So from the year 70 and three more generations, it makes sense to be about 120. But anyway, he was killed. Now, when he was killed, he was a relatively young man. His son, Rabbi Gamliel, see, you get a little picture. If you remember in Shas, he's going to mention it. Rabbi Gamliel was a takif. He was very strong. He's the one, when Rabbi Yeshua disagreed with him, he said he made him stand a whole day. Made him stand up on his feet a whole day. And he was very, very tough with him. Why was he so tough? He came at that point. The Romans killed his father, killed Asara Haluga Malchus, and he had to set up Yavna. He set up the yeshiva in Yavna. Now, when Shimon HaNerag was killed, his son Gamliel was young. There was a pause in the lineage of the Nesiim. And that's where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came in. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the one who asked, the Roman general, ten li Yavna v'chachameha. Right? He asked for three things, remember? He said, give me Yavna. You remember what else he asked for?
Medicine
for Tzadok. And the third thing? Shalshalta to Rabbi Gamliel. He asked that the line of the Nasi be spared. Even though Shimon HaNerag was killed, that Gamliel, the next one, shall shout to the Rabbi Gamliel, that it be spared. Yechiel Mezaka historically was a man, was the man for the Jewish people, who at the time of the Churban did a lot to preserve, besides the fact that he risked his life to be smuggled out and asked for Yavne, which Rav Gamliel ultimately led the yeshiva in Yavne. Yechiel Mezaka made all the takonis at the time of the Churban. He made the takonis, things zecher l'churban that we do today, zecher l'churban. He met resistance because people in the Bayis Sheni thought that, you know, this is going to be a quick fix. The first Bayis was 52 years till they started rebuilding it. You know, hopefully it'll be shorter. Well, not 52 years. It's a few years longer than that. Yechiel Mezaka saw it. He saw it. And he was the person that he's mentioning him here as the Talmud, and the one who really knew everything and saved the day for Klal Yisrael. So that's what he says. Zerub Yechiel Mezaka, Choya Mei of Esrim Shana, Kerabbi, lived as his Rebbe 120 years, while he had Bechor Ben Bayusheni, and B'tamid of Rebbe Elazar Ben Horkanis, that's the Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol, we call him, Rebbe Elazar Ben Horkanis, Sheishle Pirke de Rebbe Elazar, Hamufor Samim, this is a book called Pirke de Rebbe Elazar, V'tchunas Amidus HaGolgolim V'aretz, V'chol Dov Amufel, V'chokmas HaKechavim, who part of it discusses astronomy, Tamid of Rebbe Shmuel Ben Elisha Kayan Gadol, Rebbe Shmuel Shel, Hecholois, V'hakorespon, Maisim Merkava. He wrote three svarim about Kabbalah, This is Rabbi Shmuel Kayan Gadol. Okay, we're going to deal with the remainder of the Shalshalta of the today's Monday, so tomorrow, God willing.